We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter. Knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord reign throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Monday, June 12th, 2023. It's going to be a Testimony Tuesday on Monday, as I have a special guest to introduce you to in just a moment. I actually met her and her husband at an FCA, a Fellowship of Christian and Athletes banquet some months back, and as we were talking and I learned she wrote a book and she has a heart for the Lord and she's working as the head woman's gymnast coach at the University of Illinois as kind of her mission field, I thought, oh, I got to have her back. And actually, if you were tuned in on Friday's edition of Mark and Friends last Friday, she was a part of the discussion as we have it open to studio guests. So she joined us last Friday and I said, we have to have you back on Monday to be a part of Testimony Tuesday on Monday. So Natalie, thank you for joining us. But back to that verse that we opened up the program with, for the eyes of the Lord reign throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you'll be at war. You chose that verse. So I guess before I introduce you to our radio listening family, I want to jump right into that verse. And I think you have a different version that you appreciate. But why that verse on today's edition of Mark and Friends?
Yeah, that verse has just been a verse that is kind of a life verse for me. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things is just that the eyes of the Lord are seeking a heart that's completely His. So it's really the first portion of that scripture, because the second portion is like a but to the person that He's talking to. But for me, I want more than anything for when the eyes of the Lord is searching the whole earth and He's looking for a heart that's completely His, I want Him to find mine, surrendered and willing and able and ready to let Him do what He calls me to do.
Well, that became evident during that FCA banquet as we got to talk a little at our table and I got to hear a little about your faith journey and your life story. But I appreciate when I asked you, what goals, if God was to answer your prayers, would you want to see achieved through being interviewed during Mark and Friends? And you said you wanted listeners to press forward into a deeper relationship with Jesus. You want people to grow on their faith journey, which lines right up with our desires for this radio ministry. And you wanted people to see that there are certain people that are called to be pastors and missionaries, but really we're all called to influence people. That's kind of the FCA, you know, be an influencer. As a coach, you get to influence young people in tremendous ways. So that really all of us can be pastors and influencers of people. You wanted to raise awareness of your book, and we're going to have you back to talk about Enough, A Coach's Guide to Creating the Culture Every Athlete Deserves. So maybe we'll have you bring in some of those U of I gymnasts that you're training, and we'll talk about your book. So that'll be a future broadcast. And then also, as the head woman's gymnastic coach at the University of Illinois here, you want to raise awareness of your program. It's kind of an old program, old equipment or old facilities, and you would love to have people support you, financially support the program, maybe turning out for the meets, but also to be in prayer for you. So I have in the studio with me today on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, Natalie Walsh. She's been married a number of years, 23 years, to Victor. How about a shout out for Victor? And you have three children, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, grateful for my husband. He's been a great support and constantly lifted me up in all the different endeavors that the Lord had for me, whether it was in a work field or in a church field, because pretty much I've always worked in the marketplace. And then my kids, Aiden is 21, Ireland is 19, and Valiant is 18. And so it was a fun young three kids under the age of three at one point. And so I just grateful for my relationship with my family. They really mean almost everything to me.
Now, you've coached college gymnastics for 23 years. So walk us through how you ended up here at the University of Illinois and then intersperse your faith journey on how God called you to be a follower of Jesus.
Yeah, definitely. So my career journey, our family, we lived in Wisconsin. I was coaching at University of Wisconsin Oshkosh for 4 years there as the head coach and 2 years as an assistant coach, very part-time. And after that fourth year as the head coach, we won the Division III national championship. Mm. And then the Lord just kind of stirred in mine and Victor's heart, start packing your house. And we were kind of like, okay, what does that mean? So it was just out of obedience, started packing up. And then months later, he showed us there was an open door to go to Ball State University as a head coach in a Division I program. So that was a big jump, big faith jump for all of us to take our three little kids and go 6 hours away. And we were there, and I coached as the head coach there for 6 years. And kind of the same deal. Near the end of the time there, it was pack your house, put things in storage, get mobile, get ready. And we just would wait on him and didn't know where we were going or what that meant, and just really tried to listen. And in listening, then he opened the door to go to Utah State University all the way across the country, 24 hours away from Wisconsin, which is where all of our family was at the time. And after 4 really successful years there at Utah State, then the University of Illinois had an opening, and it was the same thing. We packed our house and we just waited on God. There was always a stirring, and there was always a level of us being willing to look a little crazy and to not know what was next, but to be prepared. And sometimes I don't think God tells you what's next. He just tells you that one little step. And sometimes the step isn't anything radical. It's back your house. And so we did that, ended up at the University of Illinois, and we've been here starting my 7th year as the coach here.
Wow, and I'm just thinking, it's almost like being deployed. I was thinking somebody in the Army or in the Armed Forces where they're deployed somewhere else, or they go to a different base or get transferred or overseas. I guess being a coach, you just never know. The success of the program sometimes determines the job or where God moves you, because he has to teach you new things. How did that affect what Victor does?
Victor's been incredibly supportive. He is one of those men that can pretty much do anything, build anything, flip anything, fix anything. He's been in many different career paths. And I think in every place that we were, he picked up new tools to put in his belt in terms of being not only a father, a husband, a godly man, but a construction builder, a general contractor. He'd worked in law enforcement. There's just so many paths that he's had. So he was always supportive. And when each move became increasingly more, I would say, more visible, bigger program, bigger everything with the program, he was always there to make sure that everything was in place for the kids in the new school and transferring medical records and everything that you need to do when you're moving across the country. And so, yeah, he owns his own business now. He flips houses, does rentals, and has been starting to hire some like young, ambitious boys or men who maybe need to learn in this field and hopefully get mentored by him along the way.
Well, we're glad to have you in our area and overseeing the U of I women's gymnastic program as the head coach. In case you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org under the Mark and Friends link, because you might have a youngster or an aspiring high school student, maybe somebody going to college that wants to be in a gymnastic program. Well, I would heartily or wholeheartedly endorse Natalie as somebody that can maybe nurture or train or look after your kids. She has a heart for the Lord, her and her husband, and there's a successful program going on here at the University of Illinois. Now, did you grow up in a Christian home? Tell us some of your faith journey.
Yeah, so my faith journey, I was raised in a home where I think second grade you get your first communion, and my parents really quickly after that stopped taking us to any sort of Catholic church, and just I think some of the, I don't know, maybe just the legalities of it wasn't what they wanted. I don't exactly know why. All I know is by my family stopping telling us what to do and believe and leading us in that direction, it really opened the door for me to be a sponge to, I would say, have my own faith journey. I was raised in an incredible home with all the love, all the support, all of the identity spoken over me and spoken into me. And I feel like my parents raised me like a Christian, but they just didn't attribute it to God. Mm-hmm. And so after that, I ended up, you know, going to middle school and high school. And in the very last year of my high school, I just started to meet more and more people that wore the Jesus shirts. They had the Jesus bracelets on. I started to ask the questions and just really quickly started to want that. I wanted what they had. And when I went to college, I started asking my roommate, hey, I see you have a Bible. Can I take a look at that? And she said, sure. And I opened the Bible and I thought, I don't even know where to start. Well, it makes the most sense to start at the end. And so I went right to the book of Revelation and was just in awe of the symbolism and awe of like the beauty and the awe of everything that was in there that I didn't understand. And it really just started me on a journey of going from the back to the front and just developing a relationship with God. And some people approved, some didn't, but I needed to do what was best for me, and it was the best for me.
Now, obviously, you're reading the words of God, and we'd highly recommend that to seekers, to senior saints, but were there other people pouring into you? Were you involved in a campus ministry, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, or was it a college group or a good church? What really helped you foster that faith journey?
Yeah, definitely. There were different churches that I went to throughout my college journey. I didn't do FCA. I didn't actually know about it at that point, but there was Student Impact. There was other groups that I would go to and churches and small groups and things like that. So I definitely had people that were pouring into the journey, but I would say a lot of the journey was just starting to discover it on my own, asking a lot of questions and knowing that it didn't make me bad or less of a person because I didn't understand and that I had questions. That God actually welcomed my questions, and most of the time he would bring somebody into my life that would give me an answer that they didn't know I was asking for.
Now, Natalie, for the person that's tuning in, our 102.5 is between two rock and roll stations, and so there might be somebody scanning the dial, and they're kind of intrigued by your faith journey. They've never encountered this loving God that we talk about through the Lord Jesus Christ. They've not begun a faith journey because they've either been hurt by somebody that called themselves a Christian, or just looks at the world and sees the turmoil, sees the heartache, has been disappointed by life. How would you encourage or nurture them to entertain the idea that God cares? What would you say?
Yeah, I think I would just say that God is a God that he cares about what you care about. Mm-hmm. And he is not the guy who is up there sending you bad circumstances or bad situations in your life. He's the one that's sitting next to you while you're walking through them. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that wants to like lift you up out of that dirt. And I think that in so many ways, yeah, a lot of Christians do hurt a lot of other people and make it a really difficult process for them to want to start on a journey with Jesus. But I would just encourage those people to know that God speaks. He speaks in ways that are so simple. He speaks in ways that you understand. You could get a thought in your mind or a picture in your head, and that's really him just talking. It's really, really simple. It's not as complicated as so many people try to make it, where they make it too churchy or too difficult to follow. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, he's just the God that's going to sit next to you when you need somebody, and he's always that person that's there when it's hard.
And I think of, and I've shared this probably dozens of times over the year, that James 4:8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. And I always share that with a seeker. I said, I trust the sovereign God who loves you, who cares for you, who created you. He exists. And if you will pursue him, if you will even just begin to entertain the idea he exists, he'll reveal himself to you. And maybe you'll see it through a child's smile. You'll see it just through his handiwork, the clouds in the sky, the green grass or nature, or just through a caring act that somebody did for you that day. You'll suddenly sense that God does care. And as Natalie just said, you don't have to make it so hard or difficult. Just entertain the idea that he cares for you and then see how he shows up.
Yeah, and definitely. And I think that God is not afraid of our emotions. If you're mad, yell at him, like tell him. And I think that's okay. Being honest and real and raw is actually the place where we can make the most kind of gains.
Well, as the head coach of the women's gymnastic team, you look at coaching as part of your calling, your ministry. So talk about that, because there's somebody going to work today that just sees their job as getting a paycheck. But it doesn't have to be that way, whether they're a hostess in a restaurant, an attendant at a gas station, whether they're a surgeon. All of us can be influencers, and all of us can be called of God right where we're at. So how do you see your calling as a ministry?
I think that coaching college in any sport, it's such a vital time for these young people. They're leaving their homes for the first time, and they're not having that day in, day out interaction with their parents, and they get to learn more about who they are, what they believe. And I feel like part of my calling is to be somebody who's stable in their lives, somebody who will constantly be willing to listen or willing to serve them or willing to speak identity over them, which means like speak the truth about them, help them to reshape their mindset, help them to get rid of maybe lies that they've believed about themselves because somebody else told them something that was never really true, but they believe it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my, I would call my coaching ministry is to serve them. I'm the head of the program. I'm the top of the pyramid, but I love to tell people I want to flip the pyramid over, be at the very, very bottom, hold everybody up, not in a way that's like about self-sufficiency, but a way of servanthood. And to be able to impact the young women that I coach and to be able to mentor them and give them perspective and just be consistent, be light, and hope that it opens the doors of their hearts one day.
Now, I've not had many gymnastic coach friends, and so I'm intrigued by the work that you do. So walk us through just like an overview of your day. What does a gymnastic coach do? Because obviously you're training and you're coaching other coaches and you're looking for performance and not necessarily perfection, but you want them to be skilled at what they do. And obviously there's paperwork and meetings and gatherings. But what would a typical general day include in your life?
Everything you just said, all of it. It's you get one project going and 15 more land on your lap. It's just one of those constant evolving and constantly wanting to be having that cutting edge approach with my coaching. But there's a lot of follow through. It's a lot of relationship. It's a lot of mentorship. It's a lot of problem solving and definitely a lot of solution building. And so I would say that in my role, I am constantly making sure that everybody else around me has what they need from me so that their lives and their work can be easier. There's coaching, there's training, there's planning, there's meetings, there's recruiting, and all of it is 100% important at the same time.
And as a coach, do you help them? Like, are you there at the rings or the parallel bars? Actually, when you're in the gymnasium, what goes on? How much training hands-on do you do?
Yeah, definitely. Well, first of all, the women's sports have vault, bars, beam, and floor. And the bars we have are uneven. So I don't go by the rings and I don't go by the parallel bars. That's the men's team and I just let them do their thing.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm right there. I'm not doing the sport. I'm coaching them. I'm talking to them about the physics, the angles, the what do you see when you're upside down? What do you feel? What are you experiencing? Mm-hmm. What are you thinking? It's very much coaching the whole total body, the total person in the middle of the skill and the routine. And then I'm on the side cheering them on and trying to dance around and be goofy and fun and lift up their mood because gymnastics is a sport of perfection. And I actually want them to look at it as a sport of excellence because if we can do excellence, that's kingdom. Perfection is not. Perfection tells you you're not good enough. You fall short. You'll never get there. Where excellence is like give it your best at all times and learn. Be learning. Be a growth mindset. And so in the gym, I'm filling kind of all those roles, the coaching, the encouraging, and the lighthearted lifting up the atmosphere, all while trying to discern what's going on, not only in the room, but in their hearts, and to bring that all back to God and say, okay, what next?
And did you have a specialty in like high school and college yourself?
A floor, definitely a performer. Okay. I've did a lot of floor exercise, balance beam, things like that.
And then with the recruiting, help us understand, and this would be for some of our listeners to be praying up the program, praying up the people that you'd want to recruit. So you look for character, obviously, and somebody that's athletic, that's trainable, but what else are you looking for or could our listeners be praying as you try to continue to build this program here at the University of Illinois?
Yeah, definitely. Character is always number one. I think that the character is so important. And there's certain things that I'm willing to mentor people through, but there's other projects that is, although those recruits might need someone like me in their life, they might not be my responsibility. And mm-hmm. I need to make sure I'm looking out for the whole flock, not just only a few. And so definitely I would appreciate any prayers for the recruits or from the listeners that the recruits would want to come and be part of this program. When I bring recruits on campus, they absolutely are blown away. They love what I say. They love my staff and what we share, and they believe in our vision. And when they get to our campus, they love the campus. They love what the athletics department offers. But when they come to our gym, it is like 100 and some years old, yeah. And they don't always love that. And gymnastics is a sport that is on the rise everywhere and every conference. And so I would say I would just appreciate a lot of prayers that God would provide a way for us to have what the recruits and the athletes need in a training facility, so that when they come, they want to choose to come here, because this is a place where we have the best academics, we have the best campus, we have so many great things here, and we just need that missing piece. So I would just love prayers that God would open those doors.
Yeah, financially, that state-of-the-art equipment and the training and everything that goes into that mystique when they come in, they're like, wow, I want to work out here. I want to train here for hours, because it's not just they come in for a half hour. It could be 2, 3, 4 hours daily.
Yeah, it's 4 hours, about 4 or 5 times a week, so definitely. But I think just in the most prayer for me would just be that I would have wisdom, the discernment, and the knowledge to be able to continue meeting these athletes where they're at and being an example to them so that they can be better spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally.
Well, Natalie, I need to have you back because I want to talk about your book, Enough, A Coach's Guide to Creating the Culture Every Athlete Deserves by Natalie Walsh. She's my guest today on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. I think you're going to maybe bring back a couple athletes, a couple of your gymnasts, maybe sometime
yeah.
we can talk about this book. And who do you hope it reaches, or how will it be helpful for our listeners to find out more about you and this book?
I think that the listeners, you don't have to be a gymnastics coach or a coach for that matter to read the book. It's truly a leadership book. It's a leadership book that speaks in analogies. And I felt like I was to write it that way so that the analogy itself continues to speak and that people can get out of each chapter what they need instead of me being super specific. So I think that the listeners would just benefit if you're in a place where you want to lead anybody, whether it's kids or your own kids or a business office. The leadership book has so many tools to offer. It's also a workbook. There's self-reflection questions. It'll take you on a healing journey through your own heart and through the hearts of the people that you are surrounded by.
And how can they purchase copies? Even though we're going to talk about this in the coming days, how would they find out this book called Enough by Natalie, Nadalie Walsh, Walsh? It's called Enough. Where would they find it?
It's published on Amazon.
Okay, Amazon. Well, thank you, Natalie, for being a part of today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. And last Friday, it was fun having you with our studio guests, and we'll have you back again, maybe with some of your gymnasts to talk about a little of their faith journey and more about this book, Enough, A Coach's Guide to Creating the Culture Every Athlete Deserves. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Natalie Walsh with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.